This is Brian, and you're listening to Bringlese Daily. Welcome back. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Come state? Spero tutto bene. I hope you're having a great week. And guys, as we always do, let's start today's episode with the translation challenge. So, today's sentence is, ho fatto una passeggiata per il quartiere e poi sono tornato a casa. Let me read that one more time. Ho fatto una passeggiata per il quartiere e poi sono tornato a casa. How would you say that sentence in English? As you already know, at the end of today's episode, I will explain exactly how to say that sentence in English. And with that being said, it is time to begin today's one big thing. And once again, today's one big thing is literally big because we're going to be talking about the arch of reunification. So most of you are definitely aware of the conflict between North Korea and South Korea. Not only that, but I imagine you are all aware of North Korea's place in the world. It is a very isolated country, despite bordering South Korea and China and Japan are nearby. Despite that, North Korea is kind of isolated. It is really a dictatorship in 2024. In today's world, there is still an extreme dictatorship, which I find fascinating and also saddening. In any case, North Korea is undoubtedly one of the most interesting places in the world. And I personally have so much curiosity about this mysterious country. The few people who have been able to escape always share incredibly interesting stories, and I always find myself very interested in hearing what they have to say. Now, specifically today, I have kind of good news that turns into bad news, because the arch of reunification is an arch, so it's like un arco. It goes over a street, and it is supposed to represent reunification between North Korea and South Korea. Those used to be the same country, and it was called Korea. But as you guys know, since the end of World War II, North Korea and South Korea have been separated. And not only that, North Korea considers South Korea as an extreme enemy, so the two countries are definitely not on good terms. However, the original founder and the original supreme leader of North Korea was a man named Kim Il-sung. And believe it or not, he made proposals to reunify North and South Korea. That is something that cannot even be imagined today. The new supreme leader of Korea would never want to unify the two countries, but his grandfather wanted to do exactly that. So, what was the plan? Well, as a symbolic gesture to encourage reunification of North Korea and South Korea, the arch of reunification was proposed, and eventually the idea went through and it was built. And it originally opened in August of 2001, so 23 years ago. 1 year later, the arch appeared on a postage stamp in 2002. So, in 2 years in a row, there was optimism there were signs and symbols that North Korea and South Korea would reunify again. I'm not sure how the citizens of these countries felt about that. I'm sure some were optimistic and some were pessimistic. From a world point of view, I imagine this could have been a good thing. I'm not 100% sure about that, but unifying South Korea and North Korea would probably create a better life for the North Korean people. In any case, North Korea was on the right path with South Korea to once again be allies instead of enemies. Unfortunately, fast forward 23 years. Where are we? In January of 2024, last month, guys. The current supreme leader, the grandson of Kim Il-sung, his name is Kim Jong-un. He is the current supreme leader of North Korea. And he wants anything but reunification. He actually said that this arch of reunification is an eyesore. Dolore all'occhio. He thinks it's ugly. He doesn't want it. And he wanted to be clear and say that South Korea is a primary enemy. They are not a friend. We are not allies. We are primary enemies. So he's thinking, why do we have this arch of reunification? It was built 23 years ago. By the way, it's built in the southern part of North Korea, close to the border with South Korea. And Kim Jong-un is saying, why do we have this arch? We should destroy it because we are not friends with South Korea. We hate that country. That is our enemy. And on a certain day between January 19th and January 23rd of last month, the arch was demolished. Consider that the exact date is not even known because North Korea doesn't share any information with the world. Satellite imagery was necessary to confirm that the arch had been destroyed. So, whereas 20, 25 years ago, there was optimism about North Korea and South Korea reuniting, nowadays, there is anything but optimism. Especially from North Korea's point of view. I'm sure South Korea would be open to conversation. But unfortunately, as of now, North Korea wants absolutely nothing to do with South Korea. Actually, they really just want to be enemies. So now this positive sign, this positive symbol of reunification has been destroyed. That's the good news, but honestly, the bad news as well. And now let me take the chance to transition from today's one big thing over to the question of the day. And today's question of the day is, would you rather visit a futuristic city in the year 3000 or an ancient city from the BC era? For those of you who don't know, BC is before Common Era. Sometimes it's referred to as before Christ. And it's the time period before, now is 2024. The time before that year count started was the before Common Era, BCE. Would you rather visit a city in the year 3000 or an ancient city from the past? And I thought a little bit about this question, and my personal answer is I would rather visit a city in the future. My reasoning for this is that we know a lot about history. We definitely don't know everything about history. There are so many mysteries. but we know even less about the future. And I'm also someone who loves innovation. I love technology. I'm so curious to see what a city in the year 3000 would look like. I think that would be even more stimulating than going in the past and seeing an ancient city from the past. I imagine a city in the year 3000 would have incredible buildings, incredible public transportation. Who knows, honestly? I would also just be curious to see what the world was like in roughly 1,000 years. So I would have to say futuristic, but I think I know my Italians, and I think many Italians would actually want to go to the past. Italians love history. They love tradition. I completely understand that. I think going to a city in the past would be interesting as well. But I personally would choose to go to the year 3000, and I would be definitely interested in a city from that time. Well, let's move on to today's answer for the translation challenge. If you remember, the sentence was, "Ho fatto una passeggiata per il quartiere e poi sono tornato a casa." So think about your answer. And before I tell you guys, I just want to remind you that I am a real English teacher. I've helped many Italians improve their English, and I want to help as many Italians as possible. So I have an online school. It's called Bringlese Academy. And you can actually sign up and do a week free in my academy. So there's nothing to lose. If you want to learn more, if you want to learn more about English, I really encourage you to check it out. And as I said, there's nothing to lose. So if you learn something from the translation challenge, you could definitely learn something from my academy. And with that being said, let me tell you the answer to the translation challenge. The sentence was, "Ho fatto una passeggiata per il quartiere e poi sono tornato a casa." In English, I would say, "I took a walk around the neighborhood and then I went back home." In English, farsi una passeggiata, we say to take a walk. Maybe in British English, they would say have a walk or go for a walk. Quindi, I went for a walk. That's good too. Conjugated in the simple past, I took a walk per il quartiere, around the neighborhood. Around means in giro. So in giro per il quartiere. I took a walk around the neighborhood and then, e poi, sono tornato a casa, I went back home. Tornare può essere go back, ma anche come back. Dobbiamo solo coniugarlo sempre nel simple past. Came back home, went back home. E l'ultima cosa che sicuramente avete già notato è che non c'è una preposizione accanto a home. Non si deve dire I went back to home. Perché quando andiamo a casa, andiamo casa, senza to. I went home. I go home, senza una preposizione. I took a walk around the neighborhood and then I went back home. That is the most natural way of saying that sentence. And if you've been listening, you probably remember that on Friday, we're going to have a special edition of the podcast. I'm going to speak a little bit more quickly. It's a little bit more advanced. But before that, we have one more episode, and that's tomorrow on Thursday, February 8th. So please join me again in 24 hours. And guys, thank you for listening. I'll talk to you all very, very soon. Peace.